SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2 has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, but everybody else in between, throwing it down, Sirius XM, Channel 1, not 5 and 9. Ian Cameron will step up in and join us in level 3. All right, well, we've got a lot of stuff to unpack as the underdogs were barking. And if you recall, for those of you that were paying attention, and I know Big Card Julio was because he cashed the ticket as well on Thursday, we were talking about the college basketball conference tournaments, and we gave you UNC Asheville. UNC Asheville was plus 250 to win the Big South, and they did. They won. They punched their ticket to the dance, and we won at plus 250. It was a big day of winners today. The dogs were literally, they were barking and biting, literally and figuratively, including with myself. And I'm a big animal person. I get along well with dogs. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I get in, there's a lot of dogs in my condo. I get in elevators. Dogs are always wagging their tail at me. I pet them. Hey, what's up, buddy? And like, you know, I get along with dogs. So, and cats like me as well. So, but I didn't tell this story on Friday. This happened to me on Friday. I didn't get to it on Friday night. I was in the 7-Eleven. I was in a 7-Eleven on Friday night. And there was this like little dog. Like, I don't know what kind of dog it was. It wasn't like a Chihuahua or anything like that. Or like it wasn't a poodle. I don't know. It was just one of those little dogs. Had a weird looking face. It was just like little white dog. Except he was an angry little son of a bitch, this dog. So I'm minding my own business. I'm standing there, and I don't even see him. Like, he's kind of small. I don't even notice him. So I'm standing there, and his owner's paying for something. And as his owner, like, the guy pays, and then he starts walking away, I step up, and I put the gator. I got some gators. I put him on the thing. His freaking dog lunges at me and bites me in the leg, tries to bite my leg. Except, and man, this little effer had sharp teeth, man. I could tell, like, his tooth sort of, like, grazed my leg. But my pants were baggy enough that he bit into my jean type thing, thank God. Like, he tried to, like, you know, he tried to get me. He sort of grazed me, but he got more of my pants, and he sort of ripped my pant a bit. Guy didn't even say sorry. It was right out of Seinfeld. I was actually going to say, yo, bro. I was going to say, your ugly little stupid dog, bro, just freaking bit me, you jackass. Like, I was really, like, I just sort of thought, and I don't want to be like John Morant. Like, I don't want to get, like, you know what I mean? Like, it crossed my mind. I was like, this, like, so I let it go. And the guy in the store is like, oh, you should have said sorry. I'm like, you're damn right you should have said sorry. The guy sort of left the store after. It's a little dude and his little stupid dog. So, dude, like, left the store. I'm just thinking, you jackass, you stupid little dog. And so then, you can't make this up. Like, 3 hours later, I don't know what's going on in the dog community, but they don't like me suddenly. So, there's a dog that lives next door to me, all right? And he's this big sort of, like, husky thing. And he's always barking, but he's actually really nice. Like, but he is always barking, like, really loud. He sounds mean and stuff, but he's actually kind of cool, right? And I've seen him since he was a puppy and stuff like that. It's a late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, but everybody else in between. All right, let's do this thing. Level 2, quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. The Clippers were down, but the Clippers actually did something that they don't do a lot lately. They actually won a basketball game. Clippers come back. But it was the Memphis Grizzlies that ended up covering the number, what it was all said and done. Ja Morant is going to be out indefinitely right now. Initially, they said he's going to miss at least like 2 games. They seem to be sort of walking that back right now, and it's more in the, well, this is more indefinite, And I think, listen, I think the Grizzlies, it's going to be out of their control. Basically, the Grizzlies sidelining for a couple of days gives Adam Silver and the NBA time to come up with how they're going to handle this and what they're going to do with Ja. The NBA has been pretty lenient with everybody this year, with everything. But I think Ja is going to be, I think he will be under the gun, pardon the pun, literally and figuratively, and probably will get suspended for, I don't know, 5 games or something. I don't know, he violated like a couple of things. You're not allowed carrying a gun on the road with you if you're an NBA player. You can't, you can have a gun, but you know what I mean? Like, he can have a gun in his car going to the arena if it's dangerous in the city and stuff, but when you're traveling with the team, you can't. And it's pretty, we can get into the legal language of it as it's out there, as what's in the CBA, but it's a violation as far as the league is concerned. He had a gun in a state that he's not from. That's against the law. I don't know if they're going to do anything about him punching the kid in the face 13 times, which he doesn't even deny, but he says the kid threw a basketball at him. But it's hard to believe anything that he says now, that he wasn't the instigator in anything. New York Knicks. That was a wild-ass game tonight. The New York Knicks beat the Boston Celtics. That's 9 in a row. Remember I said to Scoop Jackson of the Knicks, for real? He said, for real, for what? Well, I don't know. They keep winning. And the Phoenix Suns keep winning. Devin Booker and Luka get into it. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack. This is Sports Rage. I am RNC. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We'll get into D-Book and Luca's little argument and melee momentarily. I was telling a story earlier in between our AM radio affiliate breaks. We've got a couple of minutes at the top of each hour on Sirius XM, channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks. You can check us out. We've got a YouTube page, Sports Grid Radio, with a live chat as well if you want to get some video. And shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be this evening. So, yeah, I was telling a story about... I am a dog person. I don't have a dog, but I get along with dogs. I've never had issues with dogs before in my life ever. I got chased by a dog once. That's another story. And it was right out of Cujo type stuff. It was pretty terrifying, actually. But we can get to that in a minute. But yeah, I don't have a problem with dogs. But I was in a 7-Eleven on Friday. I didn't get to this on Friday. I was in a 7-Eleven on Friday, and this dude's little dog tried to bite me. He was at the cash, and as he left, he started to leave, and I went up to the cash to put my stuff on the table, and his dog, lunged at me for no reason. There was this little dog, this little white dog, and, like I said, it was a weird-looking little white dog, and he had, real sharp teeth, man, just the thing. He was so little, I didn't even see him until he tried to bite me type of thing. I didn't notice him. I sort of saw him at the last second. I'm like, hey, buddy. And then he just jumps at me. And his teeth sort of grazed my calf. But he got into my jean type thing. And he sort of pulled on my jean, but he didn't get me. Right? He didn't get me. The guy just leaves the store without saying anything. And I wanted to smash him in the head. But I was like, all right. I'm not going to get into it over this guy's stupid little dog. So... you can't make this up. Then, a couple hours later, I'm in an elevator, all right? And there's this dog that lives on my floor. And I've seen him since he was a puppy, when they got him. I saw him, the first day and stuff. So I've seen this little dog grow up. Except he's not so little anymore. He's this sort of, husky type of, dog. And he barks, really loud. He sounds, mean and stuff like that. But he's actually pretty cool, you know what I mean? But you hear him bark, all the time, during the day and stuff, and he upsets everybody. But he's cool, right? You know what I mean? He's not, scary and, you know what I mean? You see him, he looks up and his tail is wagging and stuff. So I get in the elevator. This is a couple hours after this dog bit me. I don't know what the hell's up. I seem to have upset the dog world.
I'm in the elevator, so dog's looking at me, and he's sort of like wagging his tail. So I start petting him, and he's all down. He likes it. I stop petting him, and he's sort of like, you know what I mean? He sort of comes back, and he's like, no, keep petting me. So I keep petting him. Then I stop again because we get to the ground floor, and he starts barking at me. Like, just as we get to the ground floor, and I stop, and he's like, ruff, ruff, ruff. He starts like, but then he starts like really like barking loud and stuff. All right. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I don't know what the hell is this dog's problem. Now I'm like, oh, no. I was like, man, I always thought this dog, now I know why he barks. He's crazy. And honestly, these owners are nice, but I don't think they've done a great job like keeping him in line. Like, I think he runs the show type of thing. So he just starts barking at me because I stopped petting him. Not because I pet him, because I stopped petting him. He starts flipping out that I stopped petting him. Rrr, like, you know what I mean? And you can't make this up. So the elevator door opens. He's like growling at me and stuff. The elevator door opens, and there's this big, freaking, massive, serious ass like dog that's like 4 feet tall and like got a head the size of Barry Bonds. All right. And this dog is there, and this dog didn't like this other dog barking like this. And the husky dude's pretty big, but this dog was like twice, like whatever. And for whatever reason, the husky dog, the elevator door opens, and he just freaking lunges at this other dog. Except that I'm in the middle. I'm trying to get the hell out of the elevator because the dog's barking at me. So I'm like the first one out. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. I'm like, you know what I mean? So the door opens. I step out, and then the dog comes out and then sees this other dog. And the other dog starts barking because this dog is barking. And the littler dog, like, lunges at the big dog, and I'm in the middle. And I, like, lunge out of the way, like, trying to get out of the way, like, playing dodgeball. I literally, like, jump in the air, like, into the wall. Like, I was like, whoa, like, trying to, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like a bullfighter. I was like, what the? And I was like, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. And I had to, like, I get the hell out of the way. And then there's, like, a big commotion. There's, like, 6 people in line waiting to get in the elevator, including this like little blonde girl that's like out of a Hallmark card or something. It's like a little blonde girl, like, you know what I mean? Like, and she's standing there, and then she goes, "Mommy, this is scaring me." And these dogs are like rrr, rrr, going at it. And I jump out of the way, and I say to the little girl, I go, "Hey, little girl, I'm scared too. Don't worry." I said, "That scared me too." And she looks up at me, and she starts like bawling her eyes out. There's this big scene. So they take the dogs in like different directions. And I'm like, man, you guys are all psychos. I was thinking, you know what? Maybe there shouldn't even be dogs allowed in this condo, actually. You know, when you see condos, no dogs allowed, you think, oh, they're a bunch of jerks. Nah, there's a reason for it, right? So seriously, paying $3,000 a month to get attacked by Cujo on my freaking elevator here. So I get little girls crying. They're just like near the, it's like I'm a Michael Vick's house or something. It's like there's dog fights in my lobby. So these dogs are going at it. So I'm like, what the hell? And I'm in the middle too, right? I was like, that's all I thought. I was like, oh my God, like I'm really going to get bit by a second dog today. And I sort of like lunge out of the way. Everybody's crying and stuff. They take the big dog like to the left side and the other little dog to the right side. And then I sort of stand there and I'm like, listen, I'm not going out the door with this dog that nearly just bit me in the elevator. And I don't want anything to do with this big dog over here because this big dog is really pissed at this little dog. All right. Like, and so, and they're idiots. So these people, they take them different directions and neither of them wait. They both like collided again. And then the dogs start going at it again. Then the security in the building gets up and starts yelling at them. Like, hey, like, what? Figure this out. Like, basically, like, you little girls are crying, right? And it's like, they're going at it in the thing again. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, all right, at least I didn't get bit and stuff. I just heard this guy starting to bark a little bit before. My condo is turning into Michael Vick's backyard. All right, I'm not down. So, there was a girl today coming to the door with her dog and stuff, and I'm looking, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna take a step back here. I'm not like, I think she thought I was a jerk because I didn't hold the door for her, but I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going near you or your dog. So you're going to have to open the door yourself. And no, I'm not. I don't want to be within 4 feet of you or your dog. And I don't want to be a jerk, but it actually crossed my mind. I was thinking, you know what? Next dog that comes in my face, I'm just kicking in the face. There's no more to be like, I'm not jumping out of the way. I'm not like, next time it's like, all right. Like, I want to send a warning for all you dogs out there. Like, it's over. All right. Like, it's done. It's done. Except, don't get into a fight with a dog. You're not going to win. Ask Randy Macho Man Savage. There was a great Macho Man Savage story about that. He got into a fight in a Waffle House. He went into in Memphis. He went into a Waffle House like after a wrestling card, and there was like they were light on staff because one of the cooks or something was getting married, and there was a big party for everybody that worked there. So he's there, and service is slow. And they come in after, like, going out drinking at, like, 3 in the morning, whatever. And somebody says, hey, where are you guys going on your honeymoon? And Randy Savage says, who gives an F? Get me my effing waffles. They stabbed Randy Savage. And it turned into a big brawl that was only stopped by the police dogs. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cameron will join us at level 3. Speaking of threes, week 3 of the XFL has now concluded. We did a video that we posted that we talked about on Friday. We gave you the picks for every game. And it was a solid week this week. I thought we would do well this week, and we did. We end up going 5-2, 4-1. We gave 5 picks in the video that we did. We went 4-1, and we played a couple of in-games as well, in which we split. But we go 4-1 with the posted picks. The only loss, Arlington. Arlington did not cover the point spread, but they did win the football game. Our big play, if you recall, we said, listen, you take Houston and Arlington, a Texas two-step. Houston and Arlington and the Moneyline Parlay. The Moneyline Parlay hit because Arlington won 10-9. Now, we bet on Arlington to win the championship before the season started, and it was probably a mistake. Now, there's a lot of football left, obviously, but Arlington are not the best team, and they're not the second best team. Are they the third best team? Maybe. Maybe the third or fourth type of thing. They're probably going to make the playoffs. Houston are clearly the best team. One thing about the XFL that we should note is things really started to open up this week. Listen, the overs went 3-1 in week 1. Week 2, I believe last week, it went 3-1 to the under because of weather. It was like, you know, it was like pouring rain in Vegas. There was bad weather last week, and it led to some low-scoring games. This week, there were track meets. But, you know, but when it was all said and done, it was just 2-2. But Seattle and Vegas, 30-26. DC Defenders and the Battlehawks, 34-28. So let's start off with Saturday's game here, the Seattle Sea Dragons. This was a difficult one to handicap throughout the week. Due to the fact that the Seattle Sea Dragons had cost me. I'd taken them in both games, and they lost both games on the game's final play, both times. And, like, once on offense, once on defense. In week 1, they were losing 22-18. They drove the ball down the field in the game's final minute. They got to the 1-yard line, and they fumbled the ball on the 1, and they lost the game. In week 2, they were trailing in the football game. They scored with like 54 seconds left, but then they allowed a game-winning field goal in the final play of the game to lose. In this game, it came down to the final play again. It basically came down to like the final possession and, you know, the final seconds, and they were extremely lucky to win this football game. And anybody that was watching it, it was actually, I tell you what, this was... There were some entertaining games in the XFL. Last week, there was the weather affected it. The play was pretty bad. There were bad matchups. But the Seattle-Vegas game was crazy. the Seattle-Vegas game was like one of these back-and-forth crazy deals late in the game. And then suddenly Seattle stormed back. And it was fourth and two with, I don't know, like a minute left or whatever. You know what I mean? 50 sec, a minute left and whatever. Like, it's like fourth and two. They're at midfield. And June Jones, the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Sea Dragons, does this all the time. And they better start switching their plays up, because it's to the point now with the XFL, they're mic'd up. I don't know what they're calling now. Flip right and stuff. Streak, flip right. Like, I've seen this enough that I know what Seattle are playing now, so I imagine the other teams do too. But, like, they're so poorly coached. Like, you figure Jim Haslett and June Jones would have a clue. Two experienced guys, but together they're like, it's like Dumb and Dumber. It's unbelievable. For whatever reason, they always go for three. All right? And they never get it. So, like, and to go for a three-point conversion, you need to get it from the 10-yard line. They never get it. They always go for it. And, it, you know what I mean? It's just, for whatever reason, they do it. Whatever the situation is, it doesn't work out for them. But they're losing a game. It's fourth and two. And they, on fourth and two, what do? They throw a bomb. They throw a bomb into, like, double coverage. And it had no business being caught, but Josh Gordon is better than these dudes are in the XFL. Josh Gordon could be, you know, should be in the NFL. So Josh Gordon makes this crazy catch. He jumps up over them, like, makes the catch. And it was like, it would have been one of the coolest touchdowns ever. And it still was pretty cool, but he makes the catch. And then he starts, like, he's running backwards because he caught the ball sort of like, you know, with his back to the end zone. But instead of spinning around after, he kept on running backwards. And he wanted to go all the way backwards. And it would have been like the craziest, like, never seen this in your life touchdown before. And he was going backwards, but he sort of had to look back to see. And he realized he couldn't do it all the way. So he sort of, you know, he walked into the end zone easily after. Absolutely epic catch, epic play. But they were lucky to win the game, and we were lucky to win the bet. But whatever. They were 0-2, and they lost the first two games on the last play. So moral of the story is, basically, Seattle Sea Dragon games are crazy. They're going to come down to the wire. And we're also seeing now that there are more points being put up on the board. You know, these offenses are going to take a little while, right? They're new teams. It takes a little while to get some chemistry going. And then not only just get chemistry going, but also make changes, right? We saw Orlando were much better. So Seattle ends up winning the game in a wild one, 30-26. The game goes over the number. Next week, Seattle host San Antonio. Now, San Antonio played tonight against the Houston Roughnecks. And, you know, Wade Phillips has never lost a game in the XFL. They were 5-0 when they were playing last time a couple of years ago before it got shut down due to the pandemic. Should note, like, the XFL didn't fail last time around. You know what I mean? The COVID stuff hit, and they couldn't play. They tried to play. Vince actually and the XFL tried to keep this thing going. Right? Like, they were pushing it, but they couldn't. The stadium said, no, you can't play. But so they were 5-0. Now he's 3-0. He's 8-0. And you got to believe that they're probably focused and motivated to try to run the table here. So Seattle plays San Antonio. San Antonio played Houston tonight. I didn't understand the point spread. When you consider, look, this is the first game they didn't win by double digits, and they won by 9. They won 22-13 tonight. Oh, the Houston Roughnecks. Now, they were up early in this game, and then basically nothing happened in the second half. But they ended up covering the point spread, and I didn't understand this number when you consider how dominant the Houston Roughnecks have been in the XFL. They were dominant last time and have been dominant this time. It's pretty clear Wade Phillips is, you know, he knows what he's doing, and he's out coaching everybody. And you can see it. Like, you know, this team is like, you could do when you could watch this team play and you know, yeah, these guys are better than everybody, right? But they got bored tonight. They were up early and it was like 22-7 and they were up by 15 and they took the pedal off the metal. But I tell you what, San Antonio hung around. Like, this game was closer than the score would indicate. Like, San Antonio got stuffed on the goal line once But I thought the number was too short. I didn't understand why it wasn't higher. If you recall on Friday night when Rob Vino said to me, I would have made this number 7.5 or so, if not a little higher. Look, they ended up winning by 9. Rob said that the power ratings basically had it, you know, correct at 4.5. But I said, yeah, it's because San Antonio played Orlando in the week before and their metrics aren't as good as they should be. So Houston wins, Houston covers, we cash the ticket. Houston right now, they're 3-0, and they're going to be 4-0 because they're playing the Orlando Guardians. Although we will say the Orlando Guardians played their best game of the year today. Look, at number one, it was the first time they didn't get like blown out. And Arlington, who everybody had high hopes for coming into the year, I mean, they were the preseason favorite to win a championship. And shout out to Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma. So Bob Stoops is the head coach of the Arlington Renegades. Except, let me tell you, Arlington's offense is not like Oklahoma's offense. They started Drew Plitt at quarterback out of Ball State to start the season instead of Kyle Sloter for whatever reason. I don't know if Sloter wasn't 100% or if Stoops, I know that Plitt had a good camp, but that was a surprise. Everybody expected Kyle Sloter to be the quarterback of his team. So Kyle Sloter did play today for the Renegades, and they're playing against the worst team in the league. They were laying 8 points in this game, and they were lucky to win the game. They won the game 10-9. We had him in the Moneyline parlay, but this was our only loss this week. We gave you the Seattle Sea Dragons on the Moneyline, was a winner. We gave you the D.C. Defenders on the Moneyline, that was a winner. Arlington minus the points was a loser, but the Arlington-Houston Moneyline parlay was a winner, and the Houston Roughnecks minus the points was a winner. So we go 4-1. We had a good week in week one, we had a bad week in week two, and we had a good week in week three. So we've done videos, and, you know, we're going to give a pick for every game. I could, like, you know, I could say, oh, I have a better record if I only said, oh, I'm only going to give a pick for this game or that game, but this isn't life or death, whatever. It is what it is, right? We're trying to have fun with this, and so I give a pick for every XFL game. Sometimes, you know what I mean, it'll be two picks, the side and the total. I really wasn't sure about the totals this week, so I wanted to play them in game. But we ended up going 4-1, so now on the season we're 11-7, which isn't bad. You know, I wish we were a little better, but hey, it is what it is. We stumbled last week due to the weather and injuries as well. Wasn't my fault, man. Partially was, but 11-7, we'll take it. We're betting nickels on these games too, so we're up. We're up. And there's been a couple of games that we bet more, too. So we're making money with this XFL, and we're going to continue to break it down all season long.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Match Request. This is Sports Rage.
I am Gable Morency. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Lots of stuff to get to still. We've got Ian Cameron joining us in level 333. Quickest 100 minutes in sports talk radio. So we're just talking about the XFL just to wrap up week three. And sort of move on, so you're sort of prepared for week four. We are enjoying it. We're 11-7 on the season. It was an enjoyable weekend of football. Last week was rough for them. You know, it was raining, it was windy, it was bad weather in most of their games, and it was kind of bad. It was like, ooh, this is rough football. Like, this is, some of the games were bad. But the Seattle-Vegas game was very entertaining. The D.C. Defender game, so I want to get to the D.C. Defenders. This is a fun football team, the D.C. Defenders. We're talking a lot about the Houston Roughnecks and giving the Roughnecks all this love and stuff for being 3-0. Well, hey, what about the D.C. Defenders? And great crowd in Houston tonight. I don't know how many people were there. I don't know, it looked like 15 type thing, 17. You know, they're playing in the same stadium the Houston Cougars play in, the college football stadium. So, and they have the upper deck closed. But the lower bowl was pretty full tonight. Like, there was, you know, it was you could hear the enthusiasm. The crowd was into it. Everybody's decked out in Roughneck gear and stuff. So the Houston crowd was good. They should be proud of themselves. It was a fun atmosphere there tonight. But I know San Antonio got like 25,000 people in their season opener. They haven't played at home again since they've been on the road. But D.C. So last week, D.C.'s had about, they're getting about 13, 14, 15 type of thing a game. But they're freaking loud. And not only are they just loud, I don't know. I didn't see the attendance yet for today. I mean, usually all these numbers come in a little bit later on, right? So they were loud, and anyone that watches these, like, remember last time, a couple of years ago, DC, they had a great thing going at home too. And it's strange because you're in a city that has an NBA team, you have a Major League Baseball team. You don't have an NFL team. Oh wait, I guess they do right there. Well, they sort of, no, but that's my point. It's amazing. There is so much disdain for Daniel Snyder and the Commanders and the Washington football team and all that, whatever the hell you want to call them, that they like supporting anything else. And you heard the chants tonight, F Dan Snyder. And they were really getting after it. And it was like, you could hear it. There was no way to avoid it on TV, right? You've got a stadium full of drunk people yelling, F Dan Snyder, F Dan Snyder. And they were saying full F, right? They weren't just saying F. And anyone sees, they got the beer snake. And remember in the first game, security came and stopped the beer snake. The Rock said, let it go. And they said, no. The XFL told them, no, let them do the beer snake, right? We got to get fans in here. So they had their beer snake literally from the top row of the stadium. I don't know. I didn't see it get right to the near the end of the game. It was pretty close to the end. Like, they had it, like, all the way down. It's like, man, it's like thousands of beer cups in this thing. Like, they sell a lot of beer at these games. I'll tell you what. They're selling a lot of beer at these DC Defender games. And they got quite a beer snake going on there. And they're undefeated. So people are really enjoying themselves. And they're winning money. There's like sports betting's legal and stuff. So people are making money. DC Defenders 34, Battlehawks 28. Entertaining game. So listen, Houston are really good. If we're doing power rankings, you know what? Houston are number one. DC are number two. And then it's sort of, okay, are Arlington or St. Louis a better team? They're both 2-1. I don't know who's better. I think they're very kind of evenly matched, actually, these two teams. Both at 2-1. But they're going to be playing each other, so we're going to find out. So this week in the XFL, week four, Houston at Orlando Saturday night. We got a doubleheader on Saturday night. Houston at Orlando, then the late game, San Antonio at Seattle. Houston should beat Orlando, even though Orlando played better. Houston will win that game. They'll remain undefeated. San Antonio and Seattle should just, whatever. It's going to come down to the last play. But I think Seattle could get something going. Seattle moved the ball. It's the one thing we'll give them credit for. Like, Seattle rack up yards and stuff. They just, they've had a hard time converting at times and finishing off drives. That's going to be an entertaining game Saturday night. Arlington and St. Louis should be a real sort of battle. But St. Louis's offense is better than Arlington's. Arlington's defense is better than St. Louis's. And then next Sunday night football, we got a fun one. Vegas are going to get lit up at D.C. So D.C. is going to have another party on Sunday night next week. So we'll post some picks. We'll do another video. We're doing a weekly video. Follow me on Twitter at SportsRage. 11-7 on the season so far for us. I want to get to some baseball on some unfortunate news. Not so much for the Toronto Blue Jays, even though it's not ideal for the Toronto Blue Jays, but very unfortunate for him personally, because you know how excited he was to play in the WBC. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has withdrawn from the World Baseball Classic. Guerrero was set to play first base for the Dominican Republic And in fact, he was going to leave tomorrow. He was going to leave tomorrow to join the Dominican Republic. But unfortunately, in yesterday's game, he went into second base awkwardly after driving in Bo Bichette with an RBI single. He finished the remainder of the inning but was taken out and replaced. He had an MRI completed on his knee last night, and it revealed minor inflammation, no structural damage in his right knee. The Blue Jays do not believe that is anything serious, and he is listed as day-to-day, but it's not an ideal situation for him to be leaving now that he's injured. There's been quite a few players as this tournament, the WBC, approaches that have had to withdraw due to injury. But at the same point in time, the Dominican Republic are still super loaded. Alejandro Kirk was another player on the Blue Jays that actually is not playing. He was supposed to play for the Dominican as well, and he's not. He had a baby. He's got a kid. So he's got a newborn baby. I don't think he's 100%. And the Blue Jays wanted him to work with the pitchers and get a chemistry going. You know what I mean? It's one thing if your outfielder's not there. I get it. And I think he would have played, but I think the baby was the thing. I don't think he wants to leave his kid, right? So he is out, but this tournament is still going to be lit. I think there's value with the good old USA. We've already met Japan in this tournament. We've already met Japan to win this thing at plus 290. They're currently plus 280 right now at FanDuel. The Dominican Republic are the favorites at plus 210. USA are plus 260. I think the USA are kind of being overlooked when you consider how good they are. I mean, listen, anyone can get hurt, but we're getting close to this tournament starting right now. But their outfield is Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, and Kyle Tucker. Their infield is freaking loaded. The USA is stacked. Pitching, their bullpen is very good. They have a bunch of really good relievers on the team, which will come into play here. And we didn't fully get into all the rules of the WBC. We will before the tournament starts. And I think it starts Wednesday night. It starts in Asia. And remember, they're a day ahead type of deal, overnight or whatever. So, we're going to have overnight baseball later in the week this week. And we'll get into this. But there's a pitch count for the pitchers. I think, in the first games, it's 65 innings, 65 pitches. And it increases. In the championship game, I think you can go 95 pitches. But it's 65, 75, 80. It sort of goes up. You know what I mean? No pitcher, they don't know. So where I'm going with this is, you look at the starting pitching, and I think we should be looking at the relievers a little bit more than we are. Because none of these pitchers want to get hurt and stuff, and the managers aren't stupid, and they also want them to pitch in the tournament and not get hurt. So I think a lot of the pitchers are only going to go five innings, four innings and stuff. So I think the starting pitching could be a little bit overplayed. But the U.S. roster is freaking stacked. We've said it before, but we're going to tell you again. So listen, you're running out of real estate now. It's one of these. I put my bet in 2 weeks ago or something, 3 weeks ago. And I'm going to put another bet in. I've got Japan to win, but I'm thinking about clicking on a USA right now as well. And I'll have Japan at plus 290 and the USA at plus 260, and I'll put myself in a situation where I can bet on who I want in the game, and either way, I'm getting money back. Because the way this plays out, the Dominican Republic and the United States would play each other to get to the final. They can't play each other in the final. They're not going to play each other in the final. So you look at the Dominican Republic is plus 210, the USA is plus 260. Okay, only one of you can get there. And I would rather the plus 260 than the plus 210. Yes, the Dominican Republic lineup is stacked, all right? It's loaded. Without a doubt. Even but now they lose Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Okay, but they're still deep. But the U.S. roster is freaking stocked and loaded as well. So I think, you know what I mean, a plus 260. Put it this way. We know the USA is going to end up playing the Dominican Republic in the semifinal. And the USA are not going to be plus 260 underdogs in that game. I think we're getting a pretty good number with the U.S. And why I like Japan is basically Japan have an easier path to get there. Japan will essentially, they'll have to beat Korea, South Korea. And that's no joke. Korea is good, but Japan are better. And then Cuba. They would, you know what I mean? So that's their path. You know what I mean? All right, be better than South Korea and be better than beat Cuba. And Cuba are good, but Cuba aren't as good as they used to be. And Japan are loaded. You know, they don't have Otani, but they've got like a ton of players. They got like the last two or three MVPs from the Japanese league, too. So, right now I'm thinking, you know what? USA versus Japan in the final. We're going to have them both at nice plus money. You know, we can just lay it down on the game as well. You can't take three teams, but you can take two. The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I will be there in Phoenix next weekend, next Monday. We're not going to be there for every game or anything like that, but we're going to be there. We're going to see Canada versus the USA and the NASCAR races in Phoenix as well, which just leads to chaos. But we're not going to be there until like Sunday afternoon or something like that. So we will not be at the NASCAR race. And USA play Mexico on Sunday night. And then Monday night, Canada versus the USA at Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, we were just there for the Super Bowl. Great city. Look forward to hanging out there once again for a couple of days. And I want to say, so just, you know, just from a group perspective, as I stated, Japan have a good path to get there, okay? And Japan are really good. This is the fifth World Baseball Classic, so there's been four of them before. Japan have won twice. All right, Japan have won twice, the Dominican Republic have won, and the USA won. So Japan come to play with this thing. And the Japanese, man, like, it's a good league, right? Obviously, it's a good league. They've got a bunch of big leaguers. Otani is a freak. And Otani is going to be pitching and hitting for them, right? Like, and he's on no restriction from the Angels or anything like that because they want to keep him happy. So he's going to start every big game for Japan. Otani's going to be their starter. Like, they're not playing around. He wants to win. And they have to go through Cuba. They have South Korea in their group. But anyone that follows Asian baseball knows, and we all bet this stuff, the Korean League is good, but it's not on the par of the Japanese League. It's not really close. It's almost like, it's sort of the equivalent of like AAA to Big League Baseball here. Like, the Korean League is not on par with the Japanese League. And the Japanese, like, what they do is they take their all-stars, like an all-star team for the Japanese League, and their best big leaguers. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.